It's good to be back. Good to see each one of you. Thank you for your prayers. I have to admit that this past week has been one of my worst weeks health-wise since I got liver disease. And all I can say is, God is good, and He cares. But as I go to Lake Bronson Family Camp this week and speak for 4 nights there, I would really appreciate your prayers. I need them. But it's good to be here. This is what I love to do. This is what God called me to. I am not going to read this whole text. It starts at Exodus 13, verse 17. And I will read just a few verses. And it goes all the way through chapter 14. In Jesus' name, Exodus 13, 17. Please look in your Bibles and follow along today. When Pharaoh let the people go, God did not lead them on a road through the Philistine country, though that was shorter, for God said, if they face war, they will change their mind and return to Egypt. So God led the people around by the desert road toward the Red Sea. The Israelites went up out of Egypt armed for battle. Moses took the bones of Joseph with him because Joseph had made the sons of Israel swear an oath. He had said, God will surely come to your aid. And then you must carry my bones up with you from this place. After leaving Succoth, they camped at Etham on the edge of the desert. By day, the cloud went ahead, and then a pillar of the Lord went ahead of them in a pillar of cloud to guide them on their way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, so that they could travel by day or night. Neither the pillar of cloud by day nor the pillar of fire by night, its place in front of the people. Father in heaven, I thank you for your word today. Your word is a life-giving word, Lord. And in your word, we have everything we need for life and godliness. Every circumstance that we'll ever encounter, you have written about in your word. And Lord, as we look at the nation of Israel today, God, we pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We pray, Lord, that many of the Jews would turn to you in these days, as well as the Gentiles. And Father, now, I just ask, precious Holy Spirit, be our teacher today. Lead and guide us into all truth. Open up our minds to receive and our hearts to believe your word. And Father, I ask that you would anoint me for this task today. And Lord, cleanse me from my sin. And Father, may everything that's said and done here in this church today bring honor and glory to your holy name. And that's all you ask from each one of us, is to glorify you. And may we be true to that. Father, bless your people now. In Jesus' name, amen. As we look at the purpose of this text today, look at Exodus 14, verse 4. It says, "But I will gain glory for myself through Pharaoh and all his army, and the Egyptians will know that I am the Lord." God was going to teach the Israelites some lessons. We could say that the children of Israel were up against it. They were between a rock and a hard place, literally. And they were up against the wall. Places that we are in life as well, at times. You might find yourself in a predicament, a terrible situation. You might be in that situation because of an unwise series of decisions you have made. Or you might find yourself in a predicament through no fault of your own. It occurred because of circumstances beyond your control. Your situation might be related to a child who is not walking with the Lord. He has grown and left the nest. So he too is too old for discipline in our home. Yet you're still the parent, and with all your heart, you want that child to walk with God in a desperate way. It might be at work. Or if you say something to relieve the pressure, things might get worse. It might be at school or something in your home. It might be a relational issue. There's all kinds of predicaments we get into in life. There's comfort in Exodus 14. It is the most involved predicament Israel ever faced. Yet they lived to tell a story. It became the most celebrated event in Jewish history. It is the great salvation event of the Old Testament. The Israelites had been living in Egypt all their days. Not one Israelite whom God was about to deliver under Moses' leadership had been born and raised outside of Egypt. Their lifestyle was Egyptian to the core. They had picked up habits, the earmark, the style, the very smell of Egypt, leeks and garlic. And as a result, God needed to teach his people a new lifestyle. But for him to do that, he first had to get their attention, and that is why he brought them to the Red Sea, a real predicament. There's many things that took place in this text today. First of all, God took the long way. Aren't we always looking for the shortcut? I don't care if it's from fast food to mail service or whatever. We're looking for the quickest way to get through it. When we encounter pain, we want immediate relief, right? I can say that for myself. However, the Israelites, we're told the reason they were going to take the long way. For fear of a war, and that the Israelites would not go back to Egypt. However, the Israelites were armed for battle. I want to tell you one of the greatest challenges we have as individuals is that we always want to go back to Egypt. We want to go back to that time in our life when things were really great. We can't live in the past. We have to live today. In Exodus 13:19, Moses obeyed and kept the promise to carry the bones of Joseph from Egypt, following the desire of his predecessors. The third thing we see is that the Israelites were not alone, verses 20 through 22. God's presence went with them in a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. and his presence was in those clouds. He was always with them. Just as he's promised that he'd always be with us, he said he'd never leave us nor forsake us, so that we can say boldly, "The Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man will do to me." The Israelites were in a predicament. I told you that. What was the predicament? To the west, they lived in the land of Goshen, in the locality called Ramses. They settled there at the time of Joseph. It was the most fertile land in all of Egypt. And they became very prosperous in Egypt. Sometimes that's why we want to go back to Egypt, right? Those were good days. We made money. We had it good. But they became very accustomed to that. To the west, we had the land of Goshen. To the north, Baal Zephon formed a perfect geological cul-de-sac, a dead-end street. And just to the north of there was some massive stone structures that there was no way to get through to the north. To the south lay the vast Egyptian desert called Mizraim, known today as the Sahara Desert. And there was no protection there. They wouldn't have lived if they'd have went south. And to the east lay the Red Sea, today called the Gulf of Suez. The northernmost section was the Reed Sea, or the Sea of Weeds, most often translated the Red Sea. They were hemmed in people. They were in a dead-end situation. You ever been there when it looks like wherever you're at, there's no way to turn? How do we get through this is the question. Did you get the picture? They stood staring at the waters of the Red Sea, to the north, the strong enemy fortress, to the south, blazing desert, to the west, Egypt itself. They were boxed in. There was no back door. A geographical trap with no possible escape. That's a predicament. But the instructions were simple. How about that? God has a way of simplifying things, doesn't he? He said, just follow the leader, God. When the cloud moves, you move. When the cloud stops, you stop. When the cloud turns around, you turn around. You know, even a kindergarten kid can follow those directions, right? We've played follow the leader before. Very simple. Just do what you're told. Some of us have problems taking instruction, though. Come on, men. We're not too good at it. Sometimes we're kind of stubborn. That's our sin nature, by the way. The instructions were simple. Follow the leader, God. Not too hard. Shouldn't be too hard, should it? In Exodus 14, 1 through 3, the Lord had the Israelites turn back. So, the cloud turned back. They turned back, right? It didn't seem like the right thing to do, right? You ever ask for directions? No, men don't do that. But they went back. He made the Egyptians think the Israelites were confused, and Pharaoh and his army pursued them. Sometimes we look pretty confused in our predicaments too, don't we? Not knowing where to turn. And the question is, who has trapped whom here in this text? The Lord stated his purpose to harden Pharaoh's heart, and the Lord would gain glory. That's all he wants. He wants the glory. He wants a glory in our daily lives. because he's the only one that deserves it. Pharaoh thought he had him trapped, but God had all it arranged ahead of time. He always does. He's way ahead of us. He sees the end before we can even look at the beginning. He knows it all. The Lord wanted to fight the Hebrews' battle for them. Take that to heart, would you? Whatever your predicament, I have a God who wants to fight your battle for you. Right? Verses 5 through 8, Pharaoh chased after the sons of Israel. Wow, they were in a bind themselves. Listen to this. When the king of Egypt was told that the people had fled, Pharaoh and his officials changed their mind about them and said, "What have we done? We have let the Israelites go and have lost their services." So he had his chariots made ready, and he took his army with him. He took 600 of the best chariots along with all the other chariots of Egypt, with officers over all of them. The Lord hardened the heart of King Pharaoh so that he pursued the Israelites, who were marching out boldly. The Egyptians, all Pharaoh's horses and chariots, horsemen and troops, pursued Israel and overtook them. What do you do when you got an Egyptian army on your tail now in part of this predicament? It's getting worse, isn't it? And it says in verse 10, "And as Pharaoh approached, the Israelites looked up, and there were the Egyptians marching after them. They were terrified and cried out to the Lord." This is the first time they cried out to the Lord. They didn't need him in Egypt, even though they groaned under the workload, but they cried out to the Lord. Isn't that what we do in the midst of a predicament? We begin to cry out, "God help us! God save us!" The next thing we need to look at is fear and the blame game. And that's part of 9 through 14. The Egyptians pursued the Israelites and overtook them as they camped near the sea opposite Baal Zephon. As the Egyptians marched after them, they were terrified and cried out to the Lord. Who do they blame? Moses, right? Isn't it the boss that always gets blamed? They blame Moses. Isn't it always somebody else's fault in today's society? We can never admit that we ourselves have done something wrong today. We're too proud to do that. We'd be too humbled by that. So we blame somebody else for the problem. That's becoming increasingly great in the day in which we live right now. But look what Moses told the Israelites. Verses 13 and 14. "Don't be afraid. Stand firm and see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. And the Lord will fight for you. You only need to be still." Follow the leader, right? That's one of our problems today. We don't trust and we don't wait. We have no patience. And God, you're taking way too long. I got to figure this out myself, right? Wrong, but right. Just follow the leader. Wait and be still before him. Follow the directions. It's really simple here. Really simple. God says to Moses, "What are you waiting for? Stretch out your rod over the Red Sea. A strong east wind blew all night, and there was a wall of water on both the right and left side, and the Israelites walked through on dry ground. That's a miracle. When you start piling up water, people, it goes against gravity. God can defy all gravity, I'll tell you. Nothing's too hard for him. God threw the Egyptian army into confusion. First, they thought the Israelites were confused, right? Now they were confused. The wheels on the chariots came off, so they had difficulty driving. The Egyptians said, "Let's get away from the Israelites. The Lord is fighting for them and against Egypt." They noticed, didn't they? The enemy noticed what God was doing. Do we notice what God is doing in our midst? And God said that he would fight their battle for them. Just be still. We have a hard time waiting and trusting. I'll be the first to admit it. And sometimes when God is silent, it's really hard. And we wait and we wait and we wait. And we don't like waiting. But he'll also fight our battles for us. Isn't that good news today? When we're in these predicaments, he's going to fight for us. Why? Because if we know Jesus Christ, we're his children. And he loves his children. And he wants to take care of his children. And he fights for us. Wow. That's such a blessing to know that, isn't it? That we have a God who is for us and not against us. And one who was tempted in all points, yet without sin. He was a victor himself. The victory, verses 26 through 31. So important. I want to read this. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Stretch out your hand over the sea so that the waters may flow back over the Egyptians and their chariots and horsemen." Moses stretched out his hand over the sea. At the daybreak, the sea went back into its place. The Egyptians were fleeing toward it, and the Lord swept them into the sea. The waters flowed back and covered the chariots and horsemen and the entire army of Pharaoh that had followed the Israelites into the sea. Listen to this. Not one of them survived. Did God's promise come true? He fought their battle and he took care of the enemy. That's my God. I love him. Not one of them survived. The Israelites went through the sea on dry ground. And it says that that day, the Lord saved Israel from the hands of the Egyptians. And the Egyptians and the Israelites saw the Egyptians lying dead on the seashore. They witnessed it even. That their God was a mighty God. The conclusion here. When the Israelites saw the great power the Lord had displayed against the Egyptians, the people feared the Lord and put their trust in him and in Moses, his servant, the one they had complained to about, right? They had to take back some things, didn't they? When we go in through a predicament, we must look to the Lord because there's no other place to go. We need to trust on the Lord and wait patiently for him and allow him to fight our battles for us. And in the midst of our predicament, God is there to help us. You know, I was young and now I'm old, and yet I have not seeing the Lord forsaking his own, right? Huh? The promises of God are there. And what a mighty God we have. He just performed the greatest miracle in the Old Testament, the salvation account of the Israelites. And he wants to do the same for you. He wants to save you from your sin. He wants to make you his child. He wants to fight your battles for you. Because that's the God we serve. Amen. Thank you, Jesus, for this day. For your word. Such a powerful word. I just praise you and thank you that you're a God that's for us, not against us. And even when we get ourselves into some terrible predicaments, you can always find a way out for us. And Lord, now, allow your word to penetrate our hearts, to increase our faith. We would have a simple, follow the leader faith, and walk with you all the days of our life to the glory of God. In Jesus' name, amen.